Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 23. So there at the end of the chapter, we'll close out the last few verses. If you'll stand, please, with me for the reading of the Bible, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for this Bible study and how much it helped me in my life, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that we would be helped this morning, Lord. One of the common denominators of this human experience is to have to face sickness from time to time. And so, Lord, I pray that we would learn a little bit about what you have to say about it. And, Lord, not just observations, but, Lord, that we would also seek some scriptural instruction, Lord, that would help us to know, Lord, to have a Bible-based view of sickness and, Lord, maybe a little bit more of a tender compassion towards those who are going through things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you so much for being here. We have gone through this winter, and you know, people tell me or ask me, they're like, tell me about Indiana. When is your flu season? I say, well, we have four of them. We have the winter flu season, and we have the spring flu season, we have the summer flu season, we have the fall flu season. But, you know, I'm kind of kidding, but I'm kind of not. It just seems like we kind of get through as a church one wave of sickness. And there was a Sunday, I believe it was either late December, early January, where we had over 70 people out of church on a Sunday morning because of sickness. Either they were sick or they were home caring for sick people. And this is not that unusual. I guess maybe the length of the sicknesses seemed to have me puzzled a little. Seemed like when we were growing up, if you did get sick, it was a 24-hour, 48-hour thing, maybe 3 days. Man, if someone was sick for 3 days, we were worried about them. But, you know, pretty soon they're back on their feet. Some of the things that's going around is lasting a week, and some of it for our folks have lasted for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We've had folks out for a month, sickness. And so, you know, as this thing seems like it's growing, and I don't have all the answers, I can't really tell you why things are. I can tell you this, the internet's got a lot of theories about it, all right? So, I mean, why go to the Bible when you go to the internet? And you can learn all the reasons why. But what I like to do is take a subject, go to the Bible, and just study it and see what God has to say about it. Because, folks, sickness is part of the human experience. If you think about it, you look up the word sick, sickly, or sickness. Now, I'm just using those words, like, you know, various forms of the word sick. I'm not talking about affliction. I'm not talking about palsy. I'm not talking about all the other things that we could look up. But if you just looked up those four words in the Bible, let's see, they're found a total of 109 times. And so God has some things to say about sickness, and he recognizes it. The word sickness is found 20 times. The word sickly is found one time. And, of course, the word sick is found 88 times. And so think about that. We can just go through and think about the Bible characters. And some of the well-known Bible characters went through times of sickness. Jacob, who was, by the way, the Bible said, a prince with God. You know what? He walked with a limp and he suffered from sickness. There was a day when Joseph was told to go see his father because he was sick. We see King David's infant son become sick and die from that sickness. We see Amnon, think about that, pretend to be sick as a part of a diabolical and sinful plot. By the way, young people, I know all of us tried to fake at some point sickness in our life to get out of going to school. You know, that's okay if a kid's doing it, but hopefully us adults aren't playing games like this. And I really mean that. Just stop and listen to me for a minute. You know what? I think, epidemic of hypochondriac that's going on in our nation, you better be careful. You want to fake sickness just to gain pity? God might just give you what you're faking. Okay, and so be careful about that stuff, okay? In 1 Kings 17, we see Elijah heal the son of the widow who had fed him during the famine. You remember that? It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And a story about think about our children. You know, there's something that ramps up in our attention, ramps up in our prayer life when one of our kids in the congregation is sick. And the 2 Kings chapter 8, we see the king of Syria. The king of Syria reaches out to Elisha the prophet. Why? Because he was sick. Hezekiah, the king of Israel, became sick, prayed to God for healing. And by the way, God heard his prayer, healed him, and granted him 15 more years of life. Proverbs 13 verse 12 tells us that mankind can become heart sick. Heart deferred, or hope deferred, maketh the heart sick. In Song of Solomon, we read about a young man who was lovesick. We got some of that going on around here. So, Isaiah, I didn't look at you, Jonathan, yet, but now I did. By the way, welcome, Bella. I'm so glad that you're here today. Wonderful to have you. Amen. Yeah. Oh, all right. You two still sitting together? You good? Okay, all right, good. That's twice. That's two times. I'm the only preacher in the world. As I'm preaching, members of my congregation are going. Hey, I wish I could sit with my wife, you know. I'm sure don't get to sit with her hardly ever. So Isaiah pronounced his entire nation, think about this, as being sin sick. Yeah. Some of the Old Testament prophets, you know, they describe the sickness or the sinfulness of their nation by calling it a sickness. I'm afraid America could be described as being sin sick today. Yes, Daniel saw a vision from the Lord. And by the way, after he saw this, the Bible says in Daniel 8:27, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business." I kind of like that, by the way. You know what, folks, sickness comes to all of us, but when we get over it, let's get over it. Let's get busy and let's get up and do the king's business. Think about that. In the Bible, we see men experience sickness. Think about that. I'm talking about grown-up men. We read of women and children experiencing sicknesses. The Bible contains accounts of the old getting sick as well as the young. Doesn't seem like any of us get a pass. Sickness touches all people of all ages in their life. It's a part of the sin curse, and therefore, it's just a part of life. In the Bible, we read of the poor getting sick, as well as the rich. Kids, as well as kings. Royalty, as well as those that were dressed in rags. Sickness is a part of our human experience. So, as I mentioned, I was interested in what the Bible had to say about it. And by the way, I think you'll be helped by this. So I studied the subject of sickness in the Bible. I learned some general principles. I'm going to give you some general observations, but I also was given some good instruction. So we'll finish out the message by giving you some good instruction I think will help both when you're going through times of sickness, but also in the care of those that are sick. Number one, let me give you some observations. Number one, in rare instances, I'm going to say this because it's Bible, but in rare instances, God uses sickness in the Bible as a form of judgment. Now, I think we ought to be very careful that we don't just assume that every time somebody's going through a sickness, God is judging them. There must have been something that they did in their life. And as I mentioned, I only found three instances of this, so I think it is very rare. Jehoram, the king of Israel, was such a wicked king that Elijah sent a letter to him telling him that God was going to smite him with a horrible and incurable disease. And this is what the conclusion of his life looked like. And after all this, the Lord smote him in the bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, this is a little graphic, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases. And you know why he died that way? Because he was a wicked king and God said, "I've had enough of you." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, by the way, folks, warns us in the taking of the Lord's Supper that we need to come to the Lord's Supper and we need to make sure that we come worthy of that. And don't come unworthily, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So it's worth mentioning, and I think if I was battling health problems, serious health problems, me personally, by the way, you're listening to somebody, you say, preacher, sound like you're a little callous. Well, let me just remind you, I'm just entering in my 31st month of battling cancer. And I would hope that when the news went out that Jerry Ross had cancer, a bunch of Christians didn't jump to a conclusion and say, I think some folks that have gotten mad led the church probably said, see, God finally got him. God finally got him. Oh, well, you know, it seems like no matter what you do in life, somebody's going to think bad. But I hope people didn't jump to that conclusion. But let me say this. I think every one of us, when we face things, ought to say, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? You know, are things right in my life the way they ought to be right? I'm not talking about you thinking that about others. I'm not talking about all of us doing personal business with the Lord. And so in rare instances, God could use sickness as a form of getting our attention or as a form of judgment. But I want to also quickly say after that some of God's choicest servants have had to deal with sickness and disease. And by the way, this is all through the Bible. I already mentioned that Jacob suffered from sickness and God called him a prince of God. And it says in Genesis 48, when it came to pass after these things, that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and went to see his sick father. Elisha, one of the greatest prophets in all of the New Testament or Old Testament, you know what? He died from a sickness. The Bible says in 1 Kings 13:14, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. 2 Kings 13:20, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And we can read the story of Job, folks. My goodness sakes. Read all the descriptions God gives about Job in the first chapter, and you won't see God say one bad thing about him. And he was a just man and a righteous man in his generation, and yet God allowed him to be afflicted with a horrible disease. And Job chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto the crown, and he took him a potsherd and to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. You picturing this? And yet, here's one of the most godly men that ever lived. So I don't want to be one of Job's friends. They came along and they all said, well, let me tell you why this is probably happening to you. And they just jumped to the conclusion that he was going through this because of a judgment of God. And it was, you know, the Lord allows us sometimes to be tried by sicknesses. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And so Job became sick. Daniel became sick. I just read that. And I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days. Paul was forced to leave behind two co-laborers during his missionary journey because of sickness. Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 is spoken of by Paul. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Now think about this. I want you to listen. Here's a servant of the Lord. I love him. I want to use him as an example. For he longed after you all and was full of and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now think about that. And compare that to this poor me, pity me, let me post all my owies on Facebook and see how many people I can comment after. Come on. You know what this man, he said that he was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. He didn't want to be a burden to them. He didn't want them to worry about him. For indeed, and by the way, well, how sick was he? For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, is what Paul said. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. By the way, nothing wrong with sharing a prayer request. Nothing wrong with asking God's people to pray for you when you're sick. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you, okay? I could have for the last 31 months walked around and used this cancer as a banner and waved it everywhere I went and said, let's all feel sorry for Pastor Jerry Ross. You know what? I think I'll be in Epaphroditus. I think I'll use that example. You know, some folks have come to me, preacher, I wish you'd give us more updates. And I wish you'd get more information. And, you know, I guess I could be like some folks. And every day, you know, they got to get on, give an update of their condition, you know. But no. You know what, folks? Look right up here. I want you to remind you of something. Just because Jerry Ross got cancer didn't mean everybody else's life stopped. And it doesn't mean that there aren't burdens and heartaches in everybody else's life. There's been some of our folks just this year so far. I mean, come on. Sister Terry had to bury her husband this year. Okay, what am I complaining about? Okay, think about this. Brother Bud's been to 4 family funerals since January 1st. Okay, are you listening to me? You think about it, all right? And I'm saying let's keep things in perspective, okay? We just live in such a self-centered generation that it's just, come on, the spotlight always has to be on you about every little thing that comes into your life. I mean, listen, I just watched my dad's generation. You know, my dad, look right up here, okay? And my sister can attest to this. My dad had diabetes for 3 years before I knew about it. He was diabetic for 3 years before he knew about it. There was a generation that was just private about things. Yeah, I mean, you walk in, catch your dad, I think it's heroin. You know, I don't know what he's doing. You know. Here he is, pastor, Blessed Old Baptist Church. How's that going to look when he ends up on the front page of the Linton Citizen, you know? And I said, what's going on? And mom later, the joke in our family used to be this, you know, dad's going to pass away and mom won't be allowed to tell us for 2 months, you know? And now I kind of kid about that, but I kind of admire that. You know, folks, there's all kind. Every one of us that's dealing with anything can find somebody that's dealing with more. You think you're having to drive up to Riley Hospital? Just walk around the hallways. Just walk around the hallways for a couple hours. You know what? You'll walk out of there thinking, "What problem do I have? What? I thought I had a bunch of burdens. I don't know where they went. I thought I had something to complain about. I don't know where it went." And we're going to get down to some care, and there are some things that I'm going to say that we need to do for people that are sick. And Jesus gives us a wonderful example, by the way, on caring for sick people. But let's be careful. Epaphroditus, yeah, he's sick, dying to death, and he was sorrowful in his heart because he was afraid some people had heard about it and it might cause them sorrow of heart. And then Paul, you know, folks, you know his example. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And thorn in the flesh, there's folks all over this auditorium that have dealt with a chronic situation, and I'm sure that they've all prayed, and they've asked God to take it, and sometimes God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, Lynette, I've prayed over and over, God would just heal you and give you your health back. To see a young lady of that age, I mean, come on. Old guys like me, it don't matter. See a young lady like that struggling, it breaks my heart. And I don't know why God hasn't chosen to do it, but I can tell you this. I've watched God's grace be sufficient in her life. I've watched God's strength become perfect in her weakness. And sometimes that's God's answer. So you think about this. Before we picked up stones and start making accusations and be like Job's friends, how about Jacob? How about Elisha? How about Job? How about Daniel? How about Paul? His co-laborers? How about the Apostle Paul himself? Some of the greatest Christians in the world had to deal with either diseases or sicknesses. And so, you know what, folks? Let's be careful that we don't go to judgment. So in rare instances, God uses sickness in the Bible to form as a form of judgment, but also some of God's choicest servants had to deal with sickness and disease. Let's do observation number 3. I think this is great. Jesus spent a lot of time helping and healing those suffering from sickness or disease. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among them. Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 10:1, 3 times in the book of Matthew. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So here we're told that Jesus went from city to city to teach in their synagogues. He went from city to city to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But wait a minute. While he was doing that, he never walked past a sick person and ignored them. Think about that. Jesus dealt with those that were sick people taken with diverse diseases. That's what the Bible says. And sick, those sick of palsy and those sick of a fever. We can go to every one of these instances. And one, the centurion's son, who was sick and ready to die. And in each of these instances, Christ made a difference in their life. The four Gospels contain 42, think about this, 42 of the 109 times that we find some form of the word sick. 42 times it's found in the Gospels, and almost every one of those is tied to Jesus helping someone that was sick. Now, how could I claim to be a follower of Christ? How can I aspire to be like him and not learn from his example here? And so one of the things that we learn by following Jesus is that he always took time to help the sick. And so one of the character traits of Christ, boy, let's pray for this. God, would you give me a Christ-like capacity of compassion towards those who are going through physical ailments? Help me to feel the way Jesus felt about them. And help me to do the things that I can do. Well, I wish. Have you ever just read these stories and said, I wish I could have that power? I understand even in the book of Acts, the apostolic gifts that were carried by the apostles for a while until the whole scripture came together, there were some astounding abilities that they had. They were laying people in the street so that the shadow of Peter would go pass over them and they'd be healed. And you know what? Yes, don't buy one off the TV set, okay? But Paul literally took handkerchiefs and he didn't have time to go everywhere, so he would rub them on his body and he would send them and they would lay them on people and they'd heal them. You say, preacher, this sounds like late night TV charismatic TV evangelist stuff. Well, the apostolic gifts were available for a time during the book of Acts and they're no longer available, but the book of James tells us how we're to deal with the sick. We'll get there in just a minute. So Jesus spent a lot of time healing those suffering from sickness or diseases. And then as I studied this, and by the way, I'll be honest with you, I've learned a lot about this just in my own experience. But you know, folks, God created our bodies in an astounding way. And our bodies are created to fight off sickness and to self-heal. So when I read the Psalms 139, and I read these words, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, one of the things in the process of me going through this is and my doctors and nurses know this, every time we go in, I go over my medication list with them. Every time I go in, I say, do I absolutely have to have this? Do I absolutely have to have this? I want to say to some of you that are caring for your elderly parents, push back a little bit. Be careful about how much medicine they're being given. And I'm not against people taking medicine. There's certain medications that folks, if I hadn't been given during this 31 months, I don't believe unless a miracle of God, I'd be standing here. But there's a lot of things that people are just right. And I'm telling you, God created our bodies to self-heal. And it's amazing what grandma was right on so many things. You know what they'll say? They used to say, you know what, drink lots of water and get extra rest. And you know what? It's amazing what you can do. And so, again, I'm not against going to the doctor, but I'm going to tell some of you young couples, get mad if you want to. We're running to the doctor way too much. We've got kids that aren't even teenagers, and they've built up such a resistance to antibiotics that they're no longer working. Let's trust what God's done, okay, a little bit here. And, of course, you need to use good common sense, and I hope you'll take that the right way. But, you know, our bodies are created to fight off sickness and self-heal. All through this cancer treatments and the recoveries afterwards, it's amazing to watch how God just created our bodies. And I would have a certain symptom. I'd talk to the doctor, and he said, well, I could give you this. And I would say, well, do I have to have that? And he said, well, no, to be honest with you, listen what he told me. To be honest with you, a lot of people just need something to take so that they feel like we're doing something. But he'd say, he told me this more once. Preacher, if you'll be patient, your body will take care of that. I thought to myself, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. That the body is made to self-heal. Now, the reason I mentioned what I mentioned again, if I hadn't questioned what I'm taking, I'd probably be taking 20 pills a day. Because of that, I'm only taking 2 pills a day. And you know why? Because I push back on it. You know why? Because I know that I had a wonderful creator. You know, have you ever just thought about this, folks? When you cut yourself? Okay, yeah, clean it up. We don't want it to get infected. Wear a Band-Aid on it. But isn't it amazing that God created your body to be able to send the right things to that place where you can begin to self-heal it? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So think about that. Another observation, we'll get into some instruction, but the last observation, the Bible teaches us that some sicknesses will be, here's the Bible phrase, unto death. Now think about this. Young people, every once in a while I tell our young people, I guess my whole ministry, I've talked very transparently about dying. Dying's part of living. You know, it's a part of the penalty of our sin. You know, it's part of the sin curse. And nobody's going to live forever. And Elisha, think about this. One of the great prophets got to a point in his life where the Lord said, think about this, it's appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. It's appointed. So Elisha, I put you here on earth. I put you here to accomplish certain purposes for me. And by the way, you now have an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. It says of Elisha, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And you know what? They may write all kinds of different things, different descriptions of the sickness. But, you know, the honest truth is every one of us is going to get to the point where we get sick. And Brother Tim, you know what? Not everybody makes it. You've been around this. And you nurses in the congregation, you've been around it. And you know what? I'm praying for all of our elderly folks that are in the hospital and you know what? We wish and pray for every one of them every time to get well. But there's probably going to be a time where Jerry Ross gets sick either at home or I have to be taken somewhere. And you know what? That will be my sickness unto death. And you know what? I'll go forward home to be with Jesus. And you say, well, preacher, we prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to heal my loved one and then he died or she died. Well, if they're saved, they're more healed than they've ever been. What are you talking about? I think your prayer got answered. You know, God doesn't always choose to answer the prayers that we pray the same way we're thinking. I prayed for my daddy when they found out he had a brain tumor, and I wanted God to perform a miracle. And you know what? God finally kind of told our family and gave us peace about it. It's appointed unto man. You know, he's been faithful all these years. It's time. It's time. We all serve our generation by the will of God. The Bible phrases this, he went the way of all men. And so some sicknesses are to death. Hezekiah had a sickness unto death. And yes, he prayed and God extended his life. But let me give you some encouragement. Psalms 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now, folks, if God gave me saving grace, and he did the day I got saved, and all this time he's given me living grace to carry out what he's asked me to do, do I really think at the end he's going to withhold dying grace? And folks, this whole thing is a grace walk. This whole thing's about grace. From the time you got saved to how you're supposed to live your life to how you're supposed to die, it's all reliant on the grace of Almighty God. Now, let me give you some observations, and this is basic stuff, but I think it'll be a good reminder. Number one, let me say this. If you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank the Lord for it. Be sure and thank the Lord for it. And, you know, for some of you in the room, you say, preacher, you know what? God just blessed me with a strong constitution. And you know what? I talk to men in their 50s and 60s that's never been to a doctor once in their life. And, you know, never been sick a day in their life. I had a father-in-law, Lloyd Whittington, that worked for Pommering Chevrolet for 26 years and never missed work for a sick day. Never missed work for a sick day. I don't believe he always felt the greatest. But again, that's the generation that wasn't looking for a reason to stay home. They were just looking for a reason to go. But if you're blessed with good health, don't be judgmental towards those that aren't. And by the way, you know what? Be thankful. You know, the things that we're the least thankful for are the things we take for granted. And you know what? So if you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank the Lord for it. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know, for 60 years of my life, I was sick very, very little. I'll just be honest with you. God blessed in an amazing way. It's not that I didn't have a bad day. It's never that I didn't feel. But I mean, sick enough to cause me not to go to work, sick enough to cause me to just lay at home all day, that just hardly ever happened in the first 60 years of my life. And then, I don't know if the God said, now we're going to make up for it, you know, or what. But I just want to testify and say this. After I had to experience some sickness and some downtime, I really had more of an appreciation for my good health when I did have it. And I'm just going to be honest with you, look right up here. Probably had a lot more compassion towards people that were going through tough things. It helped grow me in that area of my life. And so, but if you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank the Lord for it. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 25. I think you're in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go over a few chapters. I want you to look at this next one. Matthew chapter 25. So number one, some Bible observations about sickness. Number one, some instruction given. If you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank God for it. Number two, we have a Christian duty to visit the sick. Matthew 25, notice if you will in verse 34. Boy, I'll tell you, I read this and I thought to myself, wow, are we missing this? Are we falling short? So Matthew 25 and verse number 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye what? Visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Now think about this. The king, King Jesus, sitting on his throne, he looks at those on his right hand, those that have received Christ. And one of the things he commended them for was visiting him while he was sick. That confused them. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee in? When saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto who? Unto me. And so we have a Christian duty to visit the sick. I understand, folks, that we need to reach out. Sometimes when I'm wanting to do a hospital visit, I'll be honest with you, there were times during my cancer treatments that I told the front desk, nobody comes in but my wife. You know, sometimes you feel so lousy, and everybody deals with this differently. You don't have to be me, I don't have to be you. But when I'm sick, I just want to go hide somewhere, okay? I'm like the isolationist. Put me in a dark cave. Let me pull a cover over my head. I don't want anybody knocking on my door to cheer me up. I don't want to be cheered up. I just want to be sick, okay? And so I just want to work on me for a little while here. And there's been times when people at the church reached out and said, we'd love to come by and see Pastor. You've got the message maybe on the prayer chain. He's just not taking business. And I think we do need to be wise in how we're doing this. We need to be wise in visiting some people that's sick, that's super contagious. Amen. And so, you know, there's some wisdom here. But let me just say this. We can't forget about the people in our church that are going through sicknesses and is dealing with these kind of ailments. We just can't forget about them. And folks, you know what? Even if we can't go see them in person, sometimes getting a call is a nice thing. And by the way, there's been times if you'd have called me, I wouldn't have answered. I just didn't feel like talking to anybody. But you know what? Later on, when I checked my message, hey, preacher, I didn't want to bother. Just wanted you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. And even though they didn't talk to me, they did. I think of the people in our church so faithful about texting me. And, you know, so there's different ways. It's not, listen, preacher, I've got this going, I've got that going, and there's so many people sick all the time, and I'm sitting here feeling terrible. And I understand you can't get to everybody. And I want to say this. I want to thank my deacons for helping me in this area, okay? There's been times when not only have there been so many people sick, I couldn't get to all of them, but there's also me dealing with my own situation. And there's been people in our church, not just deacons, but other members of our church that's just kind of stepped up and helped in this area. But let's not forget them. Did you read what that said? I'm not going to stay here long. But at the judgment seat, Jesus said, you came and visited me when I was sick. Well, when did we do that? When you did it to the least of my brethren. That's pretty amazing. Think about that. So, number one, if you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank God for it. Number two, we have a Christian duty to visit the sick. Number three, we should pray for the sick. In James chapter 5, the Bible says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5 starts in verse 14 talking about anointing someone with oil in the name of the Lord. If someone's sick and they are moved by God to call the preacher and say, would you gather some of the elders of the church and would you anoint me with oil? Because I would love to be able to see God do something supernatural. Listen, folks, that's not hocus pocus. That's not charismatic stuff. That's Bible, King James Holy Bible. And, you know, I've been involved with this. I remember when Dad was the pastor, and many times folks in our church going through tough things would ask to be anointed with oil, and he'd go back in the back there with me as his assistant pastor, some of the deacons. Sometimes Jonathan Reiser was involved in this. And, you know, folks facing pretty difficult things, chronic things that they just couldn't get victory over. And I watched my father anoint them with oil, and we all prayed over them. And folks, I will tell you this, you know, I don't know. Again, it's all in God's hands. We also have the example of Paul, who went three times and prayed, and he said, no, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to heal that. I get there's a balance in the teaching of Scripture. But I'm going to tell you, in all the times we've done it, I've only seen two times where we didn't get an answer, but at the same time we did. Because only two times did God choose to take that person home. And I think, well, I thought God was going to heal them. Like I said, they're more healed than they've ever been. You know, so think about that. And so, but the Bible gives admonition beyond that, that we ought to pray the prayer of faith, and it will help. Listen, I think when you get it on the prayer chain, folks, listen to me. You get it on the, especially you young people, and you're healthy and you've hardly ever been sick in your life, and it's easy just to open that up. Oh, so-and-so's in the hospital, and close it and go back to work. Be careful, be careful. Listen, one of our obligations is to take the time to pray for each other when it comes to folks going through tough times. And so we are commanded to pray for the sick. Number four, John chapter 11. I want you to turn there. This is so interesting. John chapter 11. So if you're blessed with good health, be sure to thank the Lord for it. We have a Christian duty to visit the sick. We have a Christian duty, I believe, also to pray for those that are sick. In John chapter 11, if you look in verse number 1, John chapter 11, verse number 1. I'll find it here. The Bible says this. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, folks, you know the end of the story, and I'm not going to teach the whole story. But I thought, you know what? Jesus said, I sent that sickness so that God could get some glory. I sent that sickness that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, this is one of the things people ask when I am out somewhere and people haven't seen me, or they call in. They'll say, how are you doing? They'll say, how's your wife doing? They'll say, how's your church doing? Almost everybody that calls. And they're always interested. By the way, those that are dealing with folks that are sick, those that are dealing with people that are elderly, you've heard me say this. I pray for the caretaker first and the sick person second. Because it wasn't just, it hasn't been just me going through this for 31 months. It's been us going through this for 31 months. So they always ask, how's Cheryl doing? And one of the things I said to her, said to them, I said, you know, when we first got the diagnosis, it was, I mean, folks, I'm not going to lie to you. That's like getting kicked by a mule in the stomach, man. The initial reaction to, no one wants to hear the C word, okay? And I think of all the times I've sat with people that's received that news, but all of a sudden it's not somebody else, it's you, okay? And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, wow. And by the way, you know what? It took a couple days to sort through it all, okay? Give people time, give people space. Okay, come on, good people given time and space make good decisions. They come to a good place. So I'm not going to say that we weren't kind of initially, wow. But within just literally probably a day, me and my wife came to an agreement that if this is part of the journey that God has for us, then we're going to bring glory to God. We're going to glorify God. And I want you to think about this because, like I said, there's people in this room right now dealing with worse things than Jerry Ross is dealing with right now. But I think that this story is a challenge where God says, you know, I'm going to allow sickness to come into Lazarus' life because from that sickness, God is going to get glory. From that sickness, the Son of God is going to get glory. And folks, listen, no matter what you're dealing with, and some of you are dealing with difficult things and chronic situations and diseases that there doesn't seem to be any cure for or any hope for, and some of you are dealing with, you know, maybe not terminal things, but life-altering things, and you can't do like you used to do, and you get frustrated sometimes, and you have those bad days. Listen to me. Listen, you can do one of two things. You sit around feeling you're sorry for yourself, you can say, I'm going to make sure God gets the glory in this. I had to ask myself some questions, okay? This is what I had to ask myself. Does it glorify God when I complain about my sickness? Does it glorify God when I use my sickness as a way to constantly seek pity? Does it glorify God if I use my sickness, listen, as an excuse not to do what I could do for the Lord? My doctor sat down with me when I initially got it. We settled on the six chemo treatments, and those were followed with 25 radiation treatments. And he told me, he said, preacher, my advice to you is that I know you're a pastor. He said, but my advice to you is you take a six-month sabbatical and you just focus on you. And listen, there's times people have to do that. But you know, I went home and I got before the Lord. And I said, I'm not going to be sick all the time. I mean, we went through how the chemo would go and what the results would be. And I looked at my schedule and I thought, you know, if I have chemo on Monday, If I have chemo on Monday, then I'll have to miss Wednesday and I'll have to miss Sunday. But then I could be back for a Wednesday, a Sunday, and a Wednesday, and a Sunday before I'd have to have chemo again. Because it's every 3 weeks. Now listen, if we're not careful, just look up here. We can start just acting like we got this kind of, come on, we got this slip from the doctor. I told the doctor, I'm not sure I could do this. And he said, well, I can write you a note. And I thought, well, who am I going to give it to? I said, can you write me like 250 copies so I can just walk around saying, hey, just so you know. My doctor said, I don't have to be here for 6 months. And I wouldn't throw rocks at anybody that made that decision. But I just, I'm sorry, but I just thought to myself, is that going to glorify God? What's going to help my people more? Me laying at home, or if I can, even if I have to park out in the parking lot until the song service is going, sneak in the back, Brother Eric running around with his disinfectant, wiping everything down around me, you know. What's going to bring God more glory? Me hiding at home, or if God gives, and I would say, God, if you give me strength. I think about Brother Bo. I think about when he had cancer for those 5 years. I think about him not missing bus visitation. I'm thinking about when he couldn't walk to go to every house. He'd have Levi did it, or Jeffrey drive him around, and they'd go to the door and say, Brother Bo's out in the truck, he wants to see you. And he'd say, now you're coming to church tomorrow. I wonder what brought God the most glory. I thought about Sister Ruthie English. And I can still, I'll walk in an empty auditorium and look over in this section in my mind. I'll see Sister Ruth English sitting there, having gone through chemo, one of her beautiful little wigs on, you know. And I'd be up here and I'd be preaching and I'd look out and I knew she didn't feel good. But she's out there smiling. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody if you're doing the whatever you need to do to get back up on your feet. Sometimes you just have to be sick certain days and then get up and do the king's business, okay? And I've had stretches, and you know it, where I've had to be gone out of this pulpit for a couple months at a time. And you've lived through it. By the way, church, thank you for being so supportive. I mean, we went viral with a limo video. Y'all are crazy, okay? Y'all are crazy. My nurses are in the office all watching this on the screen, all bawling their eyes out. Man, your church loves you. I said, you wouldn't believe how good they are. You wouldn't believe how good they are. Hey, let's be that good to each other. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Preacher thanks you. But man, I want you to be just as good to everybody else. There's a lot of people going through tough times. Preacher, I can't get to see them all. Can you get to see one? Preacher, I can't call of them. Could you call two? I mean, are we really so busy that we can't stop and just send a text? And just say, hey, I don't want to bother you. I know you're not feeling good, but I just wanted you to know that we love you and we're praying for you. I just think that's kind of what Jesus would do. So does it glorify God when I complain about my sickness? Does it glorify God when I use my sickness as a way to constantly seek pity? Does it glorify God if I use my sickness as an excuse to not do what I could do for the Lord? Does it glorify God if I use my sickness to manipulate people in my life? Let's let that hang out there for a minute. Too much of that going on, even amongst Christians. Does it glorify God when I praise the Lord despite my sickness? I think it does. Does it glorify the Lord when I am more concerned about what others are facing than what I'm facing? I think that probably glorifies God. Does it glorify the Lord when I push myself to serve the Lord even when I don't feel like it? I kind of think that glorifies the Lord. I'm hoping a bunch of young people later on in life, when they go through something hard, just said, you know what? If Mrs. English could still be in church, then I can still be in church. And if Brother Bo can go bus visiting, I suppose I could drag my carcass out there. And if preacher, you know, sometimes puked back in the bathroom, wiped my face and walked in and preached, and God gave me the strength to do it, then maybe all of us ought to stop looking for a reason not to serve the Lord and just say, come on, let's go do it. To the best we can, let's go do it. Let me give the last thought. Sickness gives us an opportunity to find out how strong God is. And I'll finish with this, but I already mentioned the Apostle Paul. What an example of everything. Wow, one of my heroes. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, God said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Look up here, folks. Take these things home. Mull them over. Think about them. There's a ministry that each and every one of us have. Jesus gave us the example of it. And that's this. Let's keep our eyes out for people going through tough times. And you know what? While we're busy, he was preaching the gospel, teaching in the synagogues. While we're busy trying to work, reach the world for Christ, and we need to be. Let's not also forget that there's people amongst us that sometimes need us to just come alongside them and be a blessing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you take these truths so much more in this study, so much more. Take these truths, help us to live them out. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege, I mean that, the privilege of praying for one another. Thank you for helping those that are carrying a burden sometimes that's a bit heavy for them. And we can think where we've read that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are going through tough times. There's folks, Lord, that very much needed the encouragement of this message because they're in the middle of it and they're hurting and they're going through some things and maybe they need to just shut down for a while and get well. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us, maybe those in the congregation that's blessed with extraordinary health and extraordinary strength, stamina. May we use a little bit of that to come alongside people that are lacking and lift them up. Lord Jesus, we love you. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.